1 Kings chapter number 18, we'll be in verse 21. We'll kind of be around that passage here in 1 Kings chapter number 18 this morning. And kids can head down to their junior church class. I enjoy working with young people. I teach teen Sunday school and used to teach junior church. The one thing with working with kids and young adults and teenagers is sometimes you have to really work to explain difficult and complicated words. And, you know, words like landline and cassette tape and things like that, that I thought were normal, but when dealing with a generation, they think those are names of fossils. And I didn't think I was old. 1 Kings chapter number 18, 1 Kings chapter number 18. We're going to read verse number 21. Like I said, we're going to expand out throughout this chapter as we go throughout the message this morning. The Word of God says here, it says, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you included stories like this in your Bible for us to read, for us to learn from. I thank you that you're able to make an application here this morning to ask us a similar question. I pray this morning, though, that as I bring this message and preach this morning, that it be exactly only what you would want me to preach. That you'd soften our hearts, that we would hear this message and make a decision this morning to follow you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. There's something very deeply unsettling about silence in the face of truth. Elijah asks a question here. The context of the story is Elijah's up here on the Mount Carmel, the top of this mountain here, not a very tall mountain, but on the top of Mount Carmel, and he lives in a very wicked day in the land of Israel. The people of Israel have been led astray. The king was King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, both very wicked, ungodly people who were leading the people in the worship of a false god named Baal. And they said, "Well, who's the real God?" Forgetting, as oftentimes we can forget, what God has done for us. They forgot everything. God had given them this land. God had taken care of them. Everything they have was from God. Yet since they had drifted to a place spiritually where they didn't even have a conclusion on who God was. He said, "Who is God? Is it Baal or is it Jehovah?" And so they said, "Well, let's settle this once and for all. Let's come to the top of Mount Carmel." And they both came to the top of Mount Carmel. They both built up altars. The prophets of Baal built up their altars. And the prophet Elijah built up his altar. And they said, "Hey, it's time today," speaking to the people, the children of Israel, God's people, says, "Choose you, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And their answer is nothing. People answered him not a word. It was not just open rebellion, but it was rejection by their silence. Elijah wasn't standing before atheists. He wasn't standing before pagan nations round about the children of Israel. He stood before God's people, people who you'd say, "Hey, they know better." And he asked a piercing and a pertinent question: how long? How long halt ye between two opinions? And I think, though, that this is a question that can echo throughout the course of history to a church here in Pocatello, Idaho this morning that says, "Hey, how long halt ye as you sit in church without surrender? How long will you know truth and fail to obey it? How long will you try to live with one foot in the world and living for the devil and one foot in the Word and living for God? How long halt ye between two opinions?" I'm standing here preaching this morning to people. I believe you know the Bible. We can open up this passage. You could have told me the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel. We know how we ought to live, just like these people knew who God was. Yet there's a pull. There's a pull of this world. There's a pull of sin. There's a pull. And we're standing here saying, I don't know what I'm going to live my life for. Am I going to live my life for the world, or I'm going to do right and live for Jesus? And I want to echo the prophet Elijah there on Mount Carmel when I say, how long halt ye between two opinions? I'll challenge you this morning. It's time to make a decision. It's time to make a decision. This is not to be a soft, cuddly sermon that makes you go home with pitter-patters and feeling good. This is a sermon that by the end of this morning's sermon, you ought to be ready to make a decision. Which direction are you going to go with your life? Today, there's a problem with divided hearts. Elijah says, how long halt you between two opinions? The word halt there means to limp, to waver, to stagger. Imagine a man with two broken legs trying to walk straight. He's not. If you try to walk in two different directions at one time, Chase, I promise you it's not going to work. I promise you it's not going to work at all. It's the fun of three-legged races. We got our team camp coming up this summer, and we have three-legged races. And you got two minds, and you got to figure out how to go the right direction. But the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Hey, if you're trying to live for the world and trying to live for Jesus, it's not going to work. You're going to fall. You're going to falter. You're going to fall on your face, if it would, spiritually. Yet this is a picture of much of Christianity today. We want to come into church on Sunday, and we want to put on our Sunday best, and I'm not just talking about our outfit, I'm talking about our outward appearance. We want to put on a nice image of, hey, I'm a good Sunday going to meeting Christian. But boy, that pastor better not see you on Monday. Because Monday I live for me, and I live for my flesh, and I live for the world. Hey, how long halt ye between two opinions? It's time this morning to decide and realize that trying to serve two masters never worked out. Why? Because we can see it, yes, but also because Jesus said so in Matthew chapter number 6, verse 24. He said, no man can serve two masters. Don't take it from a preacher, take it from Jesus. It doesn't get clearer than that. Yeah, people try that say, Sunday belongs to God, and the rest of the week, though, that's me time. I'm going to live for me. And in some ways, you do. You go to work to pay your bills. But you ought to do so in a godly way. You ought to be going to work for Jesus. Preach about that Thursday night. Preach about the Christian character of diligence. Why ought we be the hardest workers as Christians on the job site? Why? Because we're not working for a boss. We're working for the Lord. So, hey, I'm going to come to church and I'm going to worship Jesus. What a day that will be. We can shout. We can amen. Oh, praise God. I can't wait to see Jesus. But then we're compromising and sinning in private. How long halt ye between these two opinions? Live a form of godliness, yet no power, no real spiritual walk. It's like a man trying to drive a car while pressing the gas pedal and the brake pedal at the same time. You'll make a lot of noise. You'll probably mess up some aspects of your vehicle. In fact, you're going nowhere, but you're tearing everything up in the process. Right? Indecisive. Reggie, you knew when I was talking about driving, I'm picking on Reggie. Reggie's working on getting his license. And I take him driving. And I'm like, all right, take a turn. And we're in the middle of the intersection. He's trying to decide, are we stopping or going? And that's the best way to get hit. Getting in an accident. How long are you going to halt between two opinions? Are you going to go or are you not? I didn't scream it like that. I said it nicely as I grabbed the handles on each side of the passenger seat. It doesn't work. In no area of life does it work to be this way. How do we expect it to work in our spiritual life? It doesn't. It never will. There's a danger in trying to serve two masters, but there's also a danger in spiritual indecision. Indecision is not neutral. It's not saying, hey, I'm just going to stay where I am. It is dangerous. James says in James chapter 1, verse 8, it talks about this double-minded man being unstable in all his ways. That if you say, I think I want to be dedicated and sold out for the Lord. I think I want to be faithful, but I don't know. I'm give or take, similar to what we're just talking about. But you become unstable. You become unstable in your marriage. You become unstable in your parenting. I think I'm going to parent according to the Word of God, but, well, Dr. Spock says, right? And you become an unstable parent. I think one of the most important aspects of parenting in a Christ-like manner to see success for the Lord and your children is consistently being 100% consistently doing it God's way, not part of the way. They become unstable in your convictions. Yeah, Christians would come to an altar after a sermon, sermon after sermon after sermon. Yes, I'm going to do right. I'm going to get right. And then 20 minutes after you walk out the door, oh, but my flesh wants to do this. Huh? Unstable in your convictions and unstable in your faith. You can't build a strong spiritual life with a divided heart. And I tell you, you end up being lukewarm, and God rejects lukewarmness. Once again, don't take it from a preacher, take it from God himself. Revelation chapter 3, verse 16, in his word he says, so then because thou art lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, you're trying to just be in the middle, you're trying to be both worldly and godly, you're trying to have the best of both worlds, it doesn't work. He says, I will spew thee out of my mouth. It's not just, I'll ignore you, or I'll just not worry about, no, that's awful. God hates that. Choose ye this day who you will serve. How long halt ye between two opinions? God does not honor half-hearted Christianity. God does not share the throne of your heart with the world. God does not want to share the throne of your heart with sin. God does not want to share the throne of your heart with your own ideas. God wants to be the Lord of your heart. Which means we need to push off any Baals, any fleshly ways, any worldliness, any sin that might be have seated themselves on the throne of our hearts and say, hey, I'm done halting between two opinions. He is my Lord. He has my heart. He has my life. But that's not where these people are, and that's not where many Christians are. We're stuck. We're saying, but the world is just so enticing. Look at all the fun I could have. Oh, but I do want to do right. And you're stuck between those two. He'd rather you make a decision, though, instead of being sitting in the middle. And I tell you, not only is there a problem of having a divided heart, there's foolishness in waiting to make a decision. Foolishness in waiting to make a decision. Elijah didn't ask if, he asked how long. How long are you going to do this? How long are you going to halt? I tell you, delayed obedience is disobedience. Every time you say, I'll get right later, what you're saying is, and you won't phrase it this way, is I'm actually content to continue to live in disobedience to God for a little while longer. So I'm going to root out this sin in my life maybe next Sunday. What you're saying is I plan on continuing to live in sin against God this next week. Say, Pastor, that's harsh. No, it's true. It's true. Delayed obedience is disobedience. So I'll deal with sin eventually. I'll surrender someday. So you want to be a rebellious against God today? Huh. We need to realize that delayed obedience is not postponing obedience. In fact, it's practicing disobedience. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verse 2 says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. verse is talking about saying, hey, don't delay receiving Christ as your Savior. And I tell you this morning, folks, if this is you, if you say, hey, I'm not one of those Christians that's on a fence, I've never accepted Christ as my Savior. I've never come to a point in time where I've realized I need to receive Christ as my Savior in order to have an eternity with Him in heaven. I need to be saved, and you received Him as your Savior, that free and full gift of salvation. How long are you going to halt between that decision? Bible says, behold now, behold today. Why? In that case, we don't know that there is tomorrow. We don't know. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. We can be certain that our life will come to an end. We have no idea when. So don't put it off. But I'll apply that to our lives as Christians. Those of us say, hey, I can tell you the day, I can tell you the hour. Praise God. Praise God. A new name was written in glory, as we sang about this morning. I've been saved. All right. All right, Christian. Why are you delaying getting right? Why are you delaying obedience? Sin hardens your heart over time. Someone who's delayed obedience to God and lived a life of sin and a pattern over and over, the longer you live in sin and live in disobedience and live in rebellion to God, the harder your heart becomes towards God. That's why you get the stereotypical old cranky Christian who says, I can't teach an old dog new tricks. I'm not ever getting right. Why? Because you put off getting right for so long that you've decided, I'm just gonna continue sinning until the end of my life. I'm never gonna make that decision. Things we know we ought to do, things that we know is right to do. Sin hardens your heart over time. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 says, lest any of you be hardened through what? The deceitfulness of sin. Sin over a period of long, prolonged period of time will harden your heart. It will deceive you. And the longer you hesitate, the easier it is going to become to stay where you are. The first time you ignore conviction, it bothers you. First time when you know you ought to go and make a decision and you say, no, not today, it bothers you. By the 10th time, it hardly registers. For long, you don't even feel the conviction anymore at all. I tell you, waiting to get right, waiting to decide, are you going to live for Jesus, or are you going to live for the world, are you going to live for God, or are you going to live for your flesh? Waiting is dangerous. Then Elijah simplifies it. He clarifies the choice. He says, if the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. It's a clear choice. There's not dozens of options. Sometimes when here in a couple weeks we're going to have our primary election. Sometimes you walk in there and there's 25 names and for one position. You think, how in the world do I make this decision? In my opinion, you ought to make the decision before you step into the booth. You ought to be an informed public. This is not a complicated, convoluted decision. It's clear. It's a choice between God and the world. It's not partial obedience. It's not saying, hey, that's just not my version of Christianity. We don't get to write our own version of Christianity. Why? Because we're not God. Only He is God. It's God or the world. God or giving in your flesh. God or sin. It's a choice. It's a choice that we're all going to consciously make, whether or not you decide to come down and make a decision here in a little while. You might make the choice to continue halting between these two opinions, which means we've already covered continuing to go nowhere spiritually. And there's the silence of the people. The clarity of the choice is there's a clear choice. then there's a clarity of the fact that you're already making this choice. Even if you haven't consciously chosen, you really have. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 30, "He that is not with me is against me." If you're saying, "Hey, I'm not going to choose to be 100% sold out, I'm not going to choose Jesus," well then, even without making that choice and saying it out loud, you're choosing, "I'm against him. I'm against him. I'm choosing Baal. I'm choosing the world. I'm choosing sin. I'm choosing the flesh." Imagine if a man says, "I haven't decided if I'm going to jump out of an airplane." And I tell you, if you never you go skydiving. I used to think I wanted to skydive. I feel like I just have gotten wiser as I've gotten older. Sounds like a dumb idea now. Perfectly good airplane. Somebody says, "I don't know if I'm going to jump or not." Hey, if you're up there in an airplane and says, "I don't know if I'm going to jump out of the plane." I tell you, if you never got on the airplane, you decided you're not going to jump out of the plane. You never got to parachute out, never climbed in, never got pilot, never got it figured out. You've decided, "Hey, I'm not going to skydive." Even though you're sitting there on the ground, "I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to jump out of the airplane. I don't know if I'm going to skydive." Hey, if you don't do it, if you don't get on the airplane, if you don't move that direction, you've decided. And in that case, probably a good decision. Tell you, we've got some false gods today. Say, "I'm not deciding Baal. I don't even know who Baal is." Well, we've got some false gods today, don't we? There's the Baal of money. Preacher, you're not supposed to talk about my money. No, there's the Baal of money. I was talking to somebody yesterday. Money's not bad. It's the love of it that's bad. It's the covetousness that's bad. It's the making money your God that's bad. We have the Baal of comfort. Man, isn't that the priority that so many put on their lives? Well, it's inconvenient to come out at 11 o'clock in the morning, preacher doesn't get done on time, and then I don't eat till 12:30, 1 o'clock. It's inconvenient to be faithful to church because then he wants us to come back at 5 o'clock for another sermon. Yeah, comfort. It's not comfortable sometimes to change our lifestyle to reflect what God teaches in his word. Oh, I've got to change the movies I watch. Well, if you're allowing filth on your TV screen, then yes. Say, "Oh, Pastor, let no wicked thing before mine eyes." That's not me, that's God. It's just what I like. It's what makes me comfortable. It's time to get out of your comfort zone and deny the Baal of comfort in our lives. We've been hitting on Thursday nights our Christian character series here that I started, and hitting the opposite of real Christian character is a Christian image. And we might have the idol, the Baal of our image. And what we live for, what we're focused on, is what people think of me. Oh, I gotta make sure Ezekiel thinks I'm a good Christian. I gotta make sure Miss Martha thinks I'm real spiritual. Who cares? Who cares? That's all a facade. That's all outward religion, and that gets you nowhere. All it makes us is Pharisees. Sometimes good things like success can be your idol. You have the Baal of success. I've seen that. I've seen families that once sat in these pews that have sought success in their lives say, "Hey, I'm going to work on the weekends. I'm going to build up my business. I'm going to be a millionaire. I'm going to give my kids everything." I tell you, your kids will be rotten because you said, "My God of this home is my success and money and what I want," instead of the God of the Bible and putting him first. Success. I've seen parents that have pulled their kids out of church to see their success as some super child prodigy athlete. Again, on a pet peeve of mine, it's just travel ball. Want to run around and spend thousands of dollars, hundreds of hours on the road and travel around treating your kids like professional athletes. Now, I believe in sports. I do. I believe in sports. I appreciate the coaching I had growing up. I believe especially boys need a good, hard coach to push them. Boys need to be pushed, need to be challenged, to rise to the occasion and gain responsibility and diligence. There's some character that can be learned there. But it ought not be God. It ought not to be you get off work on Friday night and you get in the car every single weekend and you miss church and you run around the country. You run around the country playing baseball because he's the next Babe Ruth. Sorry, Mom and Dad, he's not. He's not. Chances are like 0.00001%. They say, Pastor, you never traveled for sports? Absolutely. But do you know where we were every single Sunday? Church. Do you know there were times when we qualified for tournaments that we did not participate in because it meant missing church? And guess what? I didn't grow up to be a professional athlete. I wasn't gonna anyway. I learned a lot of good character. And you know what? The best part of that character was God is king of our home. God is Lord of our lives. God comes first. Always put God first. False god of entertainment. One of the dumbest reasons someone one time told me they missed church is because they went to the movie theater to see a superhero movie. Now, no, I'm not talking about a teenager or a kid. I'm talking about an adult. Gotta go see my cartoon superhero movie. And I'm not saying some of those are not good. I'm not saying if it's a decent movie, you ought not watch it. What I'm saying is you ought not put it before God. You ought never put it before God. A movie? Got to go see grown men in costumes throwing things at each other. It's really dumb, guys. All right? And if you like superheroes, I'm sorry. I did when I was a kid, too. But in a lot of ways, God has to be God. And your superheroes come after that. Going to the movies, watching your favorite show comes after that. Hey, if you say, hey, I've got this show I really like and it's been clean so far, but I'm going to keep watching it even though they've started introducing some filth, even though they're showing nakedness and they're taking my Lord's name in vain on this TV show now. Well, you've just decided you have a Baal and its name is entertainment and you've made him your God. You've decided. Here's one. Now this will be everybody stepping on everybody's toes. Ready? The Baal of self. Self. Now, I will always take care of me. There's a reason why in the Bible it never tells a man to love himself. It tells a man to love his wife. Why? I will always take care of me. We're going to be driving tomorrow. I'll be with my grandfather. We'll be driving headed down to Salt Lake City for a conference. You know what I've already figured out? Where we're stopping for a cheeseburger and a milkshake on our way. I'll always take care of myself. But it ought not be the priority. You know what myself, my flesh, wants? It wants indulgence in sin. My flesh wants to be lazy. My flesh wants to sleep in tomorrow and not read my Bible like I ought. Myself, my flesh, I want to do what I want to do. I want to neglect. And when I come home after a long day and the kids need looking after and mom has had it, I want to say good luck and I want to go upstairs and put my feet up. That's what selfishness wants to do. I want to put myself as the idol in my life. No, I've got to put righteousness, living holy and uprightly before God as the priority. Anything that takes God's place as the number one priority, the sole priority, the highest point of your life, anything that you've allowed to take that place is your Baal. So we have the silence of the people here. The people answered him not a word. We see conviction without response. They were convicted, but they didn't move. There was that pull. There was that pull. Picture a wide open field. We're just a couple months away from our youth camp this summer and our family camp. And something we always do is we play tug of war, right? Picture a wide open field, and on the ground there in the middle is war, and the dirt is turned up, and lines scratched deep into the earth, and you can tell that there's a battle fought here. Now imagine a massive rope drawn tight across that field. At one end stands the devil and the world and everything that the flesh wants, and it's pulling, and it's pulling hard. Everything sinful, everything fleshly, everything that appeals to your pride, everything that appeals to your lust, everything that appeals to your comfort. The other end stands God, His truth, His word, His spirit, and His will for your life. And in the middle, there you are, not watching, not cheering on, not refereeing. You are the rope. You're not neutral. You're what is being pulled one way or the other. The devil's pulling, saying, hey, Christian, take it easy. You don't have to go all in. You don't have to be so serious about Jesus. You can have church and keep your sin on the side. He says, no one has to know. You've got time to get right later. You can get serious about Jesus, just not today. The other side, God says, come out from among them and be separate. Other side, God says, hey, Christian, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. You want to rescue the perishing, reach the lost. Just lay down your burdens. Be holy. Choose to walk in uprightness. And you feel it. You feel that tension back and forth, and the pressure, the pull on your heart, and the preaching gets real, and you feel that tug of war starts to happen. You say, I know that I ought to give in and do right and just completely let go of what I want and the idols I've made in my life, but I don't know if I can. And the tug on your soul and the conviction sets in, and the uneasiness when we try to enjoy sin, but you can't anymore. There's a tug of war going on right now, and it's your decision who wins. You ever see a tug of war when one side just lets go and a whole rope flies over and it falls onto one side? Well, it's time for you to get the Baal and the devil and sin and the world and say, all right, it's time to let go. You don't have hold on me anymore. I'm done halting between two opinions. I'm done living a life of an unstable, double-minded person. It's time for to make a decision. Hey, Elijah didn't just preach information. He didn't say, hey, there are two sides, and these are the two sides. No, he says, hey, I'm preaching a decision. How long you decide today? Joshua, in Joshua chapter number 24, verse 15, he didn't preach information. He didn't say, there is the option to choose the Lord. He says, no. Choose you this day whom you will serve. We already talked about salvation is a decision. Some of this room, you might know the gospel. You might have heard it many times. You might have heard it from this pulpit many times. But you've never truly been born again. Jesus said in John chapter number 3, you must be born again. You must come to a point in your life where you make a decision and you call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. You can't halt forever. Someday it'll be too late. You must decide. I tell you, Christians, surrender of your life to Christ is a decision. There are many who are saved but not surrendered. You've been trying to play both sides. You've been holding back. You've been half in and half in the world. God's not asking for part of you, friends. He's asking for all of you, all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your actions. Say, all of me, it's all yours, Jesus. Take my life. and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 talks about presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. I'm glad we do church a little bit differently than the Old Testament. I'm sure it smelt pretty bad in the temple back then where all the sacrifices were being made. But sacrifice lays completely given over on an altar. Jesus doesn't ask us to climb up on an altar and physically and realistically, but he says, hey, I want you to be a living sacrifice where you, your flesh, your desires, your lusts, laid out and mortified on an altar. I am a living sacrifice. I am God's. Not part of me, all of me. Salvation is a decision, surrender is a decision, but friends, get this. Sin is a decision. You ever hear somebody say, the devil made me do it? No. The devil tempted you. You decided to yield to temptation. The devil didn't make you do anything. The Bible says that Jesus promises us that with every temptation, he makes a way of escape. It is possible to have victory over every single temptation. Sin is a decision. Some need to make a clean break. Maybe you have a habit of sin. Maybe you have an addiction that's sinful. Maybe it's a relationship that's sinful, or compromise of sin, or a secret sin that nobody knows about. You already maybe at your seat, you know, in your heart, in your mind, you're sitting there, you know what I'm talking about. No, maybe nobody else in this entire room knows what sin it is, but you know in your heart, the Lord is working on your heart. You already know what it is. The Holy Spirit's been pointing and put his finger right there all sermon long. And you make a decision after then the sermon is done in less than a minute here. You're going to make a decision. Are you going to decide to surrender? Or are you going to decide to continue in your sin? Either way, you will make a decision. Man once tried to follow two paths, two different roads at the same time. One foot on one road and one foot on the other. First, the paths were close by, and there was just a small little patch of grass running between them, and it worked out fine. He got confident. He thought he was doing all right, but slowly it began to separate. Soon, there was a small ditch, and he was having to bounce kind of on one side and the other. Eventually, he had to choose. He had to choose or be torn apart. This is exactly what needs to happen this morning. You need to choose God's way or the world's way. The Bible way or the way of your flesh. Walking uprightness and holiness or walking for the devil. Question still stands, and I'll ask it to you again this morning. How long halt ye between two opinions? Not how much do you know, not how long have you attended, not how good do you appear to others. How long will you delay? How long halt ye? It's time to decide today. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your goodness. Lord, you're so good to us. We do not deserve it. I pray that you'd work in our hearts. I pray that you'd bring us to a point of decision today that we realize we can no longer halt between you and the world. We can no longer stand between and be double-minded and unstable. We have to decide. Lord, I pray that we decide to follow you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.